Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 23, Why Study the Vedanta Sutra, Part 2, Understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, Part 1. We should understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is the real explanation of the Brahma Sutra, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva himself. In the Garuda Purana it is said, Arthoyam Brahma Sutranam Bharatartha Vinirnayah Gayatri Bhashya Rupausau Vedartha Paribringhitah Purananam Sama Rupa Sakshad Bhagavatoditah Dvadasha Skandha Yuktoyam Shatavichcheda Sangyutah Granta Astadasha Sahasra Srimad Bhagavata Abdha. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the authorized explanation of the Brahma Sutra, and it is a further explanation of the Mahabharata. It is the expansion of the Gayatri Mantra and the essence of all Vedic knowledge. This Srimad Bhagavatam, containing 18,000 verses, is known as the explanation of all Vedic literature. In the very first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya asked Suta Goswami how one can know the essence of Vedic literature. In answer, Suta Goswami presented Srimad Bhagavatam as the essence of all the Vedas, histories, and other Vedic literatures. Sarva Vedeti Hasanang Sarang Sarang Samudritam. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated, Sarva Vedanta Saranghi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate Tad Rasamrita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Dhriti Vachit. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta knowledge, and one who relishes this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam has no taste for studying any other literature. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the meaning and purpose of the Gayatri Mantra are also described. Satyam Parang Dhimahi. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Truth. So this is the first introductory verse dealing with the Supreme Truth, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction for the entire cosmic manifestation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Vasudeva, which directly indicates Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. This fact is more explicitly presented later in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva asserts that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and that all others are either Krishna's direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of those portions. Srila Jiva Goswami has later still more explicitly developed this subject in his Krishna Sandarbha. And Lord Brahma, the original living being, has explained Sri Krishna substantially in his treatise Brahma Samhita. The Samaveda also verifies the fact that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. And so in Vyasadeva's prayer, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam first proposes that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and that if any transcendental nomenclature for the absolute personality of Godhead is to be accepted, it should be the name Krishna, the all-attractive. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has affirmed in many passages that He is the original personality of Godhead. And this was also confirmed by Arjuna, who cited great sages like Narada, Vyasa, and many others. In the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Although the name Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion of the personality of Godhead, and although all the different forms of the Lord are identical with Vasudeva, in this text, Vasudeva principally indicates the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahamsas, those who are most perfect in the renounced order of life. Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the cause of all causes, and everything that exists is an emanation from Vasudeva. And how this is so is explained in later chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes Srimad Bhagavatam as the spotless Purana because it contains transcendental narrations of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The history of Srimad Bhagavatam is also very glorious, for it was compiled by Vyasadeva, who drew from his mature experience of transcendental knowledge under the instruction of Sri Narada Muni, his spiritual master. Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedic literatures, such as the Four Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutras, the Puranas, and the Mahabharata. Yet, Vyasadeva was not satisfied until he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasa's dissatisfaction was observed by his spiritual master, and consequently Narada advised Vyas to write on the transcendental activities of the Lord Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna's transcendental activities are specifically described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the canto which is considered to contain the substance of the whole work. But one should not approach the 10th canto immediately, but should approach the 10th canto gradually by developing knowledge of the subject matters first presented. Generally, a philosophical mind is inquisitive to learn of the origin of all creations. When one who is philosophical sees the night sky, he or she naturally raises questions about the stars, how they are situated, who lives there, etc. All these inquiries are quite natural for a human being, for the human being has a greater developed consciousness than the animals. In answer to such an inquiry, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam says that the Lord, Krishna, is the origin of all creations. Krishna is not only the creator, but the maintainer and annihilator as well. The manifested cosmic creation is created at a certain period by the will of the Lord, is maintained for some time, and is finally annihilated by Krishna's will. Thus, Krishna is the supreme will behind all activities. Of course, there are atheists of various categories who do not believe in the Creator, but that is simply due to their poor fund of knowledge. For example, the modern scientist creates rockets and by some arrangement or other, they are thrown into outer space to fly for some time under the control of the scientist far away. All the universes and the innumerable planets within them are similar to such rockets, and they are all controlled by the personality of Godhead. In Vedic literatures, it is said that the Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, is the foremost amongst all living personalities. All living beings, from the first created living being, Lord Brahma, down to the smallest ant, are individual living entities. And even above Lord Brahma, there are many other living beings with individual capacities. The personality of Godhead himself is also a living being and is as much an individual as the other living beings. However, the Supreme Lord is the supreme living being and has the greatest mind and possesses the supermost inconceivable energies in great variety. So if man's mind can produce rockets and spaceships, it is conceivable that a mind higher than man's can produce superior things. The reasonable person will accept this argument, but stubborn, obstinate people will not. Srila Vyasadeva at once accepts the Supreme Mind as the Parameshwara, or the Supreme Controller. As stated in Bhagavad Gita and all other scriptures written by Srila Vyasadeva, that Parameshwara is Sri Krishna himself. And this is specifically validated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says that there is no summum bonum superior to himself. Mattak parataram na anyat. Therefore, the author at once worships Sri Krishna, whose transcendental activities are described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Unscrupulous people go at once to the 10th canto, especially to the 5 chapters which describe the Lord's rasa dance. However, this portion of Srimad Bhagavatam is the most confidential part of that great literature. So, unless one is thoroughly accomplished in the transcendental knowledge of the Lord, then one is sure to misunderstand Krishna's worshipable transcendental pastimes found in the rasa dance and Krishna's loving affairs with the gopis. This subject matter is highly spiritual and technical, and only liberated personalities who have gradually attained the stage of Paramahansa can transcendentally relish this worshipable rasa dance. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva gives the reader a chance to gradually develop in spiritual realization before actually relishing the essence of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Thus, Vyasadeva purposely invokes the Gayatri Mantra, Dhimahi. This Gayatri Mantra is especially meant for spiritually advanced people. When one attains success in chanting Gayatri Mantra, he or she can enter into the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. First, however, one must acquire Brahminical qualities and become perfectly situated in the mode of goodness in order to chant the Gayatri Mantra successfully. From that point, one can begin to transcendentally realize the Lord, His name, His fame, His qualities, etc. And so, Srimad Bhagavatam is a narration dealing with the Swarupa, or form of the Lord, which is manifest by His internal potency. This potency is distinguished from the external potency, which has manifested the cosmic world within our experience. Srila Vyasadeva makes a clear distinction between the internal and external potencies in the very first verse of the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in that verse, Vyasadeva says that the internal potency is factual reality, whereas the external manifested energy in the form of material existence is temporary and illusory, no more real than a mirage in the desert. Water may appear present in a mirage, but real water is somewhere else. And so similarly, the manifested cosmic creation appears to be reality, but it is simply a reflection of the true reality which exists in the spiritual world. For in the spiritual world, there are no mirages. In the spiritual world, the absolute truth is there, but it is not here in this material world. For everything here is relative truth. One truth seems to depend upon another. This entire cosmic creation results from an interaction of the three modes of material nature. The temporary manifestations are so created as to present an illusion of reality to the bewildered mind of the conditioned soul. Thus, there appear to be so many species of life, including the higher demigods like Brahma, Indra, Chandra, etc. But in fact, there is no reality in the manifest world, but there appears to be reality because the true reality exists in the spiritual world, where the personality of Godhead eternally abides with this transcendental paraphernalia. Just as the chief engineer of a complicated construction does not personally take part in the construction itself, but it is he only who knows all the nooks and corners of the construction, because everything is being carried out under his instructions only. In other words, the chief engineer knows everything about the construction, both directly and indirectly. So similarly, the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme engineer of this cosmic creation, knows very well what is happening in every nook and corner of the cosmic creation, although activities appear to be performed by someone else. In actuality, no one is independent in the material creation, for the hand of the Supreme Lord is everywhere. All material elements as well as all spiritual sparks are but emanations from Krishna only. Whatever is created in this material world is created by the interactions of the two energies, material and spiritual. These energies belong to the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. A chemist can manufacture water in the laboratory by mixing hydrogen and oxygen, but in reality, the living entity can only work under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, all materials used by the chemist are supplied by the Lord. The Lord knows everything directly and indirectly, and Krishna is cognizant of all the minute details of everything. Krishna is fully independent as well. Krishna can be compared to a gold mine, and the cosmic creations can be compared to the ornaments made from that gold, such as gold rings, necklaces, etc. The gold ring and necklace are qualitatively one with the gold in the mine, but quantitatively the gold in the mine and the gold in the earring or necklace are different. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy of the Absolute Truth centers about the fact that the Supreme Lord is simultaneously one with and different from His creation. Nothing is absolutely equal to the Absolute Truth, but at the same time, nothing is independent of the Absolute Truth. Conditioned souls, beginning from Lord Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, down to the insignificant ant, are all creating something, but none of them are independent of the Supreme Lord. The materialist wrongly thinks that there is no creator outside one's own self, and this is called Maya or illusion. Due to one's poor fund of knowledge, the materialist cannot see beyond the purview of one's imperfect senses. Thus, one thinks that matter automatically takes its own shape, independent of a conscious background. This is refuted by Srila Vyasadeva in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. As stated before, Vyasadeva is a liberated soul, and Vyasadeva compiled this book of authority after attaining spiritual perfection. Since the complete whole, or the Absolute Truth, is the source of everything, nothing is independent of the Absolute Truth. Everything exists within the body of the Absolute Truth. Any action or reaction of one part of a body becomes a cognizable fact to the embodied whole. Similarly, if the creation abides in the body of the Absolute Truth, then nothing is unknown to the Absolute directly or indirectly. In the Shruti Mantra it is stated that the Absolute Whole, or Brahman, is the ultimate source of everything. Everything emanates from Him, everything is maintained by Him, and at the end, everything enters into Him once again. That is the law of nature. This is also confirmed in the Smriti Mantra. There it is said that at the beginning of Brahma's millennium, the source from which everything emanates is the Absolute Truth, or Brahman. And at the end of that millennium, the reservoir into which everything enters is that same Absolute Truth. Material scientists haphazardly take it for granted that the ultimate source of this planetary system is the Sun planet, but they are unable to explain the source of the Sun planet. In Vedic literatures, the ultimate source is explained. Lord Brahma is the creator of this universe, but because Lord Brahma had to meditate in order to receive the inspiration for such creation, He is not the ultimate creator. As stated in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma was taught Vedic knowledge by the personality of Godhead. In the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that the Supreme Lord inspired a secondary creator, Brahma, and enabled him to carry out his creative functions. In this way, the Supreme Lord is the supervising engineer. The real mind behind all creative agents is the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna personally admits that it is He only who superintends the creative energy, prakriti, the sum total of matter. Thus, Srila Vyasadeva neither worships Lord Brahma nor the sun. Instead, Vyasadeva worships the Supreme Lord, who guides both Lord Brahma and the Sun in their creative activities. The two Sanskrit words abhigya and swarat appearing in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam are significant. These two words distinguish the Supreme Lord from all other living entities. For no living entity other than the Supreme Being, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is either abhigya or swarat. That is to say, no living entity is either fully cognizant or fully independent. Everyone has to learn from one superior about knowledge. Even Lord Brahma, who is the first living being within this material world, has to meditate upon the Supreme Lord and take help from him in order to create. So if Lord Brahma or the Sun cannot create anything without acquiring knowledge from a superior, then what is the situation with the material scientists who are fully dependent upon so many things? Modern scientists like Jagadish Chandra Bose, Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, etc., may be very boastful of their respective creative energies, but all of them were dependent on the Supreme Lord for so many things. After all, the highly intelligent brains of these gentlemen were certainly not products of any human being. The brain is created by yet another agent. If brains like those of Einstein or Newton could have been manufactured by another human being, then mankind would produce so many brains instead of eulogizing their passing. If such scientists cannot even manufacture such brains, then what to speak of the foolish atheists who defy the authority of the Lord? Even the Mayavadi impersonalists, who flatter themselves and believe that they have become the Lord themselves, are not abhigya or swarat, fully cognizant or fully independent. The Mayavadi monists undergo a severe process of austerity and penance in order to acquire knowledge of becoming one with the Lord, but ultimately they become dependent upon some rich follower who supplies them with requisite paraphernalia in order to construct great monasteries and temples. Atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu had to undergo severe penances before they could flout the authority of the Lord. But ultimately, they were so helpless that they could not save themselves when the Lord appeared before them as cruel death. This is also applicable to the modern atheists who dare flout the authority of the Lord. Such atheists will be dealt the same awards as were given in the past to great atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. For history repeats itself, and what was occurring in the past will reoccur again and again when there is necessity. Whenever the authority of the Lord is neglected, the penalties dealt by the laws of nature are always there. That the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is all perfect is confirmed in all Shruti mantras. It is said in the Shruti mantras that the all-perfect Lord glanced over matter and thus created all living beings. The living beings are parts and parcels of the Lord, and Krishna impregnates the vast material nature with the seeds of the spiritual sparks. Thus, the creative energies are set in motion for so many wonderful creations. Once, When one atheist argued that God is no more expert than the manufacturer of a subtle watch, which has so many delicate parts, we had to reply that God is a greater mechanic than the watchmaker because Krishna simply creates one machine in male and female forms, and then the male and female forms go on producing innumerable similar machines without the further attention of God. If a man could manufacture a set of machines capable of producing other machines without the man giving the matter any further attention, then man could be said to be equal to the intelligence of God. But of course, this is not possible. Each and every one of man's imperfect machines has to be handled individually by a mechanic. Because no one can be equal in intelligence to God, another name for God is Asamaudva, which indicates that no one is equal to or greater than God. Everyone has his or her intellectual equal and superior, and no one can claim that he or she has neither. However, this is not the case with the Supreme Lord. The Shruti mantras indicate that before the creation of the material universe, the Lord was existing and was master of everyone. It was the Lord who instructed Lord Brahma in Vedic knowledge. That personality of Godhead has to be obeyed in all respects. Anyone who wants to become freed from material entanglement must surrender unto him. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. For unless one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, then it is certain that one will become bewildered, even if he or she happens to be a great mind. Only when great minds surrender unto the lotus feet of Vasudeva and know fully that Vasudeva is the cause of all causes, can they become Mahatmas or truly broad-minded. As confirmed in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan Mang Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatma Sadurlabha. However, such broad-minded Mahatmas are rarely to be seen. But only they, however, can understand the Supreme Lord as the absolute personality of Godhead, the primeval cause of all creations. He is Parama, the ultimate truth, because all other truths are dependent upon Krishna. And because Krishna is the source of all knowledge, Krishna is omniscient. There is no illusion for Krishna as there is for the relative knower. Some Mayavadi scholars argue that Srimad Bhagavatam was not compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, and some even suggest that the book is a modern creation written by someone named Vopadeva. In order to refute this meaningless argument, Srila Sridhar Swami points out that there are many of the oldest Puranas which make reference to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first sloka or verse of Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the Gayatri Mantra, and there is reference to this in the oldest Purana known as the Matsya Purana. With reference to the context of Gayatri Mantra in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said in this Purana, "That book, which contains many narrations of spiritual instructions, which begins with the Gayatri Mantra, and also contains the history of Ritra Asura, is known as Srimad Bhagavatam." Whoever makes a gift of this great work on a full moon day attains to the highest perfection of life and goes back to Godhead. There is also reference to Srimad Bhagavatam in other Puranas, which even indicate that the work consists of 12 cantos and 18,000 shlokas. In the Padma Purana also, there is reference about the Srimad Bhagavatam during a conversation between Gautama and Maharaj Ambarisha. Maharaj Ambarisha was advised to read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly if he at all desired liberation from material bondage. Under these circumstances, there is no doubt regarding the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. For the past 500 years, many scholars have made elaborate commentaries upon Srimad Bhagavatam and have displayed unique scholarship. And so the serious student would do well to attempt to go through them in order to more happily relish the transcendental messages of the Bhagavatam. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur specifically deals with original and pure sex psychology, or Adi Rasa, devoid of all mundane inebriety. For the entire material world turns due to this basic principle of sex life. In modern human civilization, sex is the central point of all activities. Indeed, wherever we turn our face, we see sex life prominent. Consequently, sex life is not unreal. Its true reality is experienced in the spiritual world. Material sex is but a perverted reflection of the original, for the original is found in the Absolute Truth. So this validates the fact that the Absolute Truth is personal, for the Absolute Truth cannot be impersonal and still have a sense of pure sex life. The impersonal monist philosophy gives an indirect impetus to such abominable mundane sex because it overly stresses the impersonality of the ultimate truth. The result is that men who lack knowledge have accepted the perverted material sex life as all in all because they have no information of the actual spiritual form of sex. There is a distinction between sex in the diseased condition of material life and sex in the spiritual existence. Srimad Bhagavatam gradually elevates the unbiased reader to the highest perfectional stage of transcendence, above the three modes of material activities, fruitive actions, speculative philosophy, and worship of functional deities as indicated in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam is the embodiment of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and is therefore situated in a position superior to other Vedic literatures. Thus ends Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 23, Why Study the Vedanta Sutra, Part 2, Understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, Part 1. Recorded September 2, 2021 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the author, the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.
Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala Nanda Kumar Madana Gopala Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara Govinda Hari Gopala Hari Gopala Hari Govinda Hari Jaya Jaya Deva Hari Jaya Jaya Deva Hari Jai Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hari Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hari Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara Govinda Hari Gopala Hari Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari Jaya Jaya Deva Hari Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari Jaya Sachinandana Gaura Hari Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara Vande Krishna Nanda Kumara Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.